Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
We return again today to the book of Exodus, and Francis Ball has joined us as we again join the children of Israel in the wilderness, God's people, wandering there, Francis, in the book of Exodus. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Very good to be able to go with you on this journey.
Well, you have to have a tent, I think, to go along today, Francis.
Surely do.
We've had 14 programs, Francis, since we rejoined the life study of Exodus, and they've all dealt with the different articles, the various items that Jehovah ordained to furnish the 2 inner chambers of the tabernacle. Thus far, we've looked at the Ark of the Testimony and the Holy of Holies, and more recently now, the showbread table, or the table of the bread of the presence, and the golden lampstand that were both in the holy place. Now today, we want to begin to look at the details of the actual structure, the tabernacle itself, its dimensions, and the materials used in its construction. We're really seeing that when properly opened up, these details are utterly marvelous in what they portray of the riches of Christ, aren't they?
It's marvelous. I think that's a good word. This picture of Christ, and as you said, also of the church, is just beyond anyone's imagination. This is something that was in the Bible, and people have enjoyed reading it concerning the tabernacle. It was one of my favorite portions to get into, but I just have to admit that what is brought out in these messages far exceeds anything that I could have imagined or that I heard from others until this ministry brought these things to light. There are so many items here that are so practical in our experience. The table of showbread, or the table of his presence, the bread of his presence. This was really a marvelous view to see that here we get fed and our conduct gets dealt with. And that brings you to the light of the lampstand. I really enjoyed that. The lampstand is so mysterious and yet so real, depicting the triune God. And then to be brought on into the Holy of Holies, where the ark is, and that's a real picture of Christ. All these things have been so wonderful, but I'm anxious to get to this part now that we're going to hear today about the layers of the covering of the tabernacle.
Well, Francis, fundamentally, the tabernacle, for those who maybe haven't spent as much time getting into it in the past but are being intrigued by what they're hearing day by day, basically, fundamentally, the tabernacle was a tent. In fact, that's another translation for the very word is tent. And we're going to see that the children of Israel were dwelling in tents, following the Lord day by day, and there the Lord was also dwelling in a tent among them. Let's join Witness Lee.
We come to the tabernacle. Have you noticed that in verse 1, it says, "You shall make the tabernacle." In verse 6, the last verse of this little section, it also says, "And the tabernacle shall be what?" The word tabernacle is used by translators for the tabernacle. I have 40 different English versions of the Bible. Probably 1 or 2 versions do use the word tent. Actually, the tabernacle is just a tent. I use today's modern expression for camping. What is needed in camping is just the tent. The word tabernacle really means the tent. And it is used specifically by the Bible translators for the tabernacle. Actually, it is a tent. We all know a tent means a kind of a dwelling place not settled. For overnight, maybe. The longest, maybe for 1 week. It is something portable, something movable. And this is why, according to the record of the Bible, the tabernacle, or God's tent, doesn't have any floor, because it is movable. Just like you go camping and you set up your tents, you don't have any kind of foundation, do you? For all those 40 years, you know, the children of Israel, they were camping. They were camping in the wilderness, and God was camping there with them. The only thing, God's tent was a little bigger than their tent. And their tents were erected or set up just around the tent of God, God tabernacle. If you have ever read Numbers, the first few chapters, you could see all together 12 tribes and 3 tribes camped on the north side, 3 tribes camped on the south side, another 3 on the west, and then another 3 on the east. You see, 4 sides of 3 tribes each. All together, 12 tribes camping around God's camp. It's quite meaningful. What we are touching is the real tent. That is the tabernacle.
Well, Francis, as we begin to focus on the tabernacle itself, I think the first thing that we should take note of is just what kind of structure the tabernacle was. The children of Israel traveling through the wilderness on their way to Canaan, as Witness Lee said, in a sense, were camping out, living in tents. It is interesting, isn't it, Francis, that the Lord also was willing to become a tent dweller?
Yes, it is wonderful, and it's also what's spoken more clearly and plainly in John chapter 1, where it says, "The Word, which is Christ himself, became flesh and tabernacled among us." Not every translation uses the word tabernacle, but it is the verb form of the same word, and it means that he dwelt among us. So he loved to dwell among his people. And this is a clear picture of this. With Israel, his people on the earth, he wanted to dwell among them. And that tent that he dwelt in was larger than the other tents, but all the other tents of all the children of Israel were round about that tent called the tabernacle. And that was God's dwelling place among his people. It's really marvelous that he would choose to dwell in that way to be among his people.
I was thinking about Paul's word in Corinthians where he reminded them that the spiritual rock had followed you. We really see a very mobile, portable Christ in these pictures of the Old Testament, don't we?
That's right. For 40 years, he was right in the midst of his people, among them.
Well, we want him in our midst and among us in a very real and practical way. As you pointed out, this is not just Bible knowledge or Bible study in the traditional sense of the word. In a sense, we are certainly studying these things, but the rich practical application in our experience of this living Christ dwelling among his people today is what we're really after.
Amen.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee. We saw as we looked at these items of furniture that all of the details, even their dimensions, were significant. And the same is the case when we get into the tabernacle itself. That's where we're going in this next section. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
What we will cover is just actually one of 4 layers of the covering of the tabernacle. Not the entire tabernacle, just the covering. And the covering is of 4 layers. We are just on the first layer, from within, not from without. Okay, before we go on, I must give you a little word concerning 3 measurements. You have 1 measurement this way, another measurement this way, another measurement that way, the third way at the rear. It has 10 cubits. You have to know 10 is a number for completion and perfection of man. It's human perfection, human completion. Look at how many fingers you have. 10. And how many toes you have. 10. 10 is a human number for human perfection. Suppose you have only 4 fingers on this hand, and 5 on the other, you have 9. What is that? That is what? That is a kind of a defect. No perfection, no completion. Now you understand why God gave man 10 commandments. that is for man's perfection, for man's completion. God didn't give man 9 commandments, or 11 commandments, or 12, but 10. So these 10, the first layer, the first layer typifies Christ's humanity, typifies Christ as a man, as a man. He is the man here. 10, signified by 10. A man in perfection, a man in completion. With him, there's no defect, no bias. He's perfect, he's complete, he is such a man. When he was on this earth, you look at the record of the four Gospels, you could see a man there, perfect, complete. And all the time you see, he is a man. But the expression is triumph God in resurrection. Okay, the first letter. This fine linen. This, according to Revelation, means the righteous conduct. Fine linen signifies Christ, his righteous conduct. Then you have the fine quality signifies the evenness. His conduct is altogether not coarse, not like yours, mine. Many times our conduct are too coarse, too rough, too tough. And twined means what? Strengthened by being treated. So it is not loose. You know, our conduct, no twining, so loose. Never dealt with, never treated. Some say the Bible is not trustworthy, especially the four Gospels, because the four Gospels telling people a person too fine and too perfect and too complete, and this that could never be such a person. No human mentality could compose a book like the four Gospels. Why? Because in the four Gospels, these four books show us a man so fine. Human mentality can never dream of such a thing. No need to say human mentality doesn't have the wisdom to compose such a kind of writing. Even you cannot dream. He's so fine. Now you have to read. You go back to read the four Gospels. You see the Lord Jesus. He's really fine. He does everything in a limit. He has never stepped over anything. Right? He's all the time restricted. He's all the time self-controlling. He's all the time fine. Not one beat of coarseness you can find out in his biography.
Well, Brother Francis, after spending nearly 3 weeks looking at the details of these items of furniture within the tabernacle, I think that we're all impressed by now that all of the details, even including the measurements, the materials used, they were all meaningful as we look at the picture. Let's talk now about the significance of the dimension and the number 10 that shows up in the tabernacle and in its covering, and also the fine linen that was used for the curtains that covered the tabernacle. We just heard that the record of the four Gospels is such a picture. How do we see the linen and the number 10 in the Gospels?
Well, again, I say that this is a marvelous picture. Without this picture, it would be hard for us to see the details that are really in the Gospels, because the Gospels really are a picture of the Lord Jesus as God manifested on the earth. But the dimensions that are in the tabernacle itself and the materials that are used give you a lot of details about this marvelous one that's pictured in the Gospels. Each Gospel has a particular emphasis concerning Christ, and the details of those things could not be seen so clearly without this vision that's in the tabernacle. For that reason, we need to study the details of the tabernacle. You mentioned the number 10. That's very significant. It's very important we realize how this number is used in the Bible. Of course, we know we have 10 commandments, and those 10 commandments are in two parts, two tablets, 5 and 5. And everything, it seems, that the Lord does to show the completeness of what He's doing uses the number 10. So this number 10 here is the 10 curtains of the fine linen. This typifies Christ in His fine humanity. And you see how wonderful He is as the details of this curtain are put together, how there's two sets of curtains that are really bound together and showing how even He is in everything. His humanity is just beyond description in a way. Because some have said, how could there be such a person as Jesus Christ? There's no such person. But there is such a person.
Right.
And this wonderful person is so perfect in all that He is, so fine. The fine linen depicts this wonderful person. So that and the number 10, you just mentioned these two items, they're very significant in unfolding the mystery in this book. The length of the curtains, the breadth of the curtains, how they're put together in two groups, all of these things have a very big significance to the details of this wonderful person of Christ. Linen, for example, shows how fine He is. It's called fine linen. And there's nothing more fine than the humanity of Jesus. And also, it's twined, fine and twined. Twined means that there's something brought together, not loose. In other words, the humanity of Christ, there was nothing loose. The fine linen, so pure, but the twine means that there's nothing loose, nothing careless about Him, nothing coarse and nothing rough. Even many of His disciples were rough, but the Lord Jesus was not rough. Even the Apostle Paul, you could say, at least once or twice, he got a little rough. But the Lord Jesus was always so fine and gentle in what He did, and yet so exacting and so perfect in every way. So these curtains show us how wonderful He is in all the ways, and then the Gospels depict four different aspects of Him that are really brought out in the curtains and in the embroidery work that's done there.
Well, Francis, the curtains were made of, as you said, fine linen, pointing to His humanity. Of course, linen naturally is a kind of white color. In this final section, we're going to see that not only were they made of linen, but there were colors associated. And these colors were blue, purple, and scarlet. And they are also very significant. Let's find out now. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
We all know linen, its natural color is white. But here, the linen becomes blue, signifying that the Lord Jesus' humanity, or as a man, is altogether heavenly. He lived on this earth, He worked on this earth, but He is not an earthly man. He is a heavenly man. Heavenly in nature and in appearance, as revealed in the Gospel of John. He used to tell people, I came from heaven. I am the bread of life from heaven. This is fully revealed in John. The purple, that is a kingly color. He is kingly both in position and in behaving. He was a little Nazarene. In the four Gospels, He behaved Himself as what? A king. The Lord Jesus did act and behave as a king. And this is what portrayed in the Gospel of Matthew. Then scarlet. Scarlet is dark red. Dark red always signifies two things. One is sin. Isaiah chapter 1 says, your sin is so strong, so heavy, so serious, just like dark red, scarlet. And scarlet at the same time signifies shedding blood for the sin. That is redemption. So here, scarlet signifies shedding blood for redemption of sin, as illustrated in the Gospel of Luke. Then cherubim of the work of an embroidery, they signify God's glory manifested in Jesus the man, as shown in the Gospel of Mark. He was not only a man, he was a slave in Mark. But in these slave men, you see cherubim there. You see the glory of God manifest in cherubim. Later on, you will see in other books, cherubim are living creatures, especially in Ezekiel. In these creatures, God's glory is seen. So this is God's glory manifest in the creatures. When Jesus was on this earth, he was a creature. He is a creature. Yet, upon him, God's glory is manifested. That is the cherubim. I'm glad that we have four Gospels to cover the four aspects of this man Jesus.
Well, Francis, as we pointed out, the natural color of linen, of course, is white. But here in the tabernacle, the linen that covered the tabernacle was of blue, purple, and scarlet. Then, in addition, upon these linen curtains of blue, purple, and scarlet, the cherubim were embroidered. What's the significance of these details?
And this, I think, I just have to encourage all the listeners to write in and get these messages because they are so full of riches that we can't cover in a short program. But all these colors and this material are really quite significant. Blue, of course, that's a heavenly color, and that means he's a heavenly person. Christ is a heavenly man, and he's shown this in the Gospel of John particularly. And also, you have the color purple. Purple, everyone knows, is a royal color, and certainly that has to do with Christ's kingliness, and he certainly is the king. This helps us to see what Matthew's talking about as his kingly character and his kingdom also. Then there's the scarlet. Well, scarlet in the Bible depicts not only sin. In Isaiah 1:18, it talks about, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. So scarlet is related to sin, but it also is related to the blood that was shed by Christ for sin and for our redemption. So these particular colors with the white linen really give you a detailed picture of this marvelous person, Jesus Christ. But not only that, there is the cherubim that were the fine work of embroidery work done by someone skilled in embroidering. God's glory is expressed in that work of embroidery that's done on those curtains. And the interesting thing is that it doesn't tell us how many, and doesn't tell how big. And it's much like the cherubim that are on the propitiation cover in the Holy of Holies. It doesn't give you the dimensions of these cherubim either. It means his glory is immeasurable. So Christ is really the expression of God's glory, which is expression of God himself in all of his beauty. This wonderful man, Jesus Christ, is also God in all his glory.
Francis, we pointed out that the dimensions are significant when there are dimensions. For example, the ark, as we've talked about, was a cubit and a half in height, as was the showbread table. But also the lack of dimension is also significant. As you pointed out here, there was no description of how large the cherubim were, which implies this immeasurable aspect. Don't you love these details as they've been opened up for us?
They certainly help us to appreciate the one who dwells in us.
So the blue, scarlet, and red, and cherubim, we've got a heavenly, kingly, redeeming Christ in glory. What a picture, Francis.
Amen.
Today for Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.